Well, if you remember last time we were together, we looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And that's a while ago, wasn't it? A couple of weeks now. Matter of fact, I think you guys were still here then, weren't you? So you never missed a study, eh? Well, we had a concert 1 week, and 1 week was canceled. We were at the foyer 1 week, and the next week was canceled because we were in North River. Easter week. So it brings us again now to Ephesians 6:15, and I'm not going to summarize all the other stuff because we were all there already, and we're going to move on with the armor of God. And the 6:15 says, having your shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Oh, I left my research upstairs.
You want to go get them? Mm-hmm. So I did mention, I know it's a long time ago. I see some people are bringing out papers. Homework.
Homework.
Yeah. And I asked you to look up verses surrounding some of these aspects of the armor of God. And it looks like some people did that. So we know that Joe and Kathy were busy on the road and everything, so they didn't have an opportunity. So, but I'm not going to say in the gourd. Okay, so let's start with this one here, and that is your feet shod or shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And let's talk about this for a bit and see, did you find any scriptures to go with this that, you know, parallel or talk about feet and the gospel?
Isaiah 52:7.
Okay, Marie, go down to the third number here on the right, I think it is. Isaiah 52:7 it is. Right. This is written in the Old Testament. It says, how beautiful. You want to read it there, Rochelle?
How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns.
Isn't that a beautiful passage of scripture? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Now, I don't know about you, but if we all took our socks off and had a little gaze at each other's feet, I can tell you I'd probably win the contest hands down for ugly feet. So why does he say how beautiful are the feet?
Spread the good news.
Okay, why feet though?
Because they're moving.
They're moving.
Okay, because in order to spread the good news, you have to
go.
Go. I think sometimes we develop a mentality that says in order to spread the good news, we have to get people to
come to us.
Right? And I want to encourage you to this. Listen, if you think if we have a church building, that's what's going to make a church.
Yeah, no.
It isn't. Mm-hmm. Because by and large, most people are be too scared to walk through the doors, especially in Cheticamp.
Yes. Yes.
We already have services. They're not knocking down the door to come to us, are they?
No.
No. And you can invite them and you can share with them, but it's not easy for them to make those kinds of steps. But what needs to happen is we need to go to them.
Yeah.
We need to look for ways to go to people and share the good news with them. That's not going to be easy either, but that's when your feet get beautiful. They get beautiful when they're moving, when they're going. And that's the statement is given here, how beautiful this is. And it gives some summary statements here. They're proclaiming peace, glad tidings of good things, and proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. They're pointing to the Lord, the beauty of that. That's a great verse. Is there another verse in the New Testament that's like this one here?
Nahum 1:13.
We're going to go to that one in a bit because I'm not familiar with that one, so that's exciting for me. But is there one that's parallel to this verse in the New Testament? Does anybody have one close to this? Anybody find one that's close to this?
Romans 10.
Yes, there we go. That's the one. Then click the one above them, right? Number two. Oh, you're there already. Yeah, you're way ahead. Okay. Right? For this, Romans 10, okay, it's I'm going to read the prequel to it, okay? Start at verse 11. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom, him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now I want you to know, when it says a preacher, it just means a proclaimer. It doesn't mean the minister, okay? I want you to get that out of your head. Because if you think that I'm the one that's going to bring the good news to everybody in Shetty Camp, forget it. It's not going to happen that way. I'm only going to be able to touch a certain amount of people. I'm only going to be able to relate to a certain amount of people. You're going to be able to touch people that you know, or people that you come into contact with. You're going to be able to reach people that I'm not going to be able to come near to touching. And so that means you too. And how shall they preach or proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Where'd that come from? Where'd that verse come from?
Isaiah.
So you can see that how the old and the new are tied together here as Paul quotes this passage out of Isaiah in speaking about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And you notice it's asked the question, how shall they preach unless they are sent? So they have to go. But it is the Spirit of God who sends us, who gives us that little prompting. Sometimes you're sent, but you're not listening. Okay, I want you to go and visit. I want you to call your neighbor. I want you to, you know, spend a little time. You know, sometimes we're very afraid to share because we're afraid of what the reaction will be, right? And sometimes fear holds us back. But I want to have beautiful feet. I don't know about you. I want to have beautiful feet and in sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, what other verses did you come up? You've mentioned one in Nahum.
Nahum 1:13.
Okay. I don't know what that one is, but we'll see. You got it there, dear?
1:13?
Yep. Okay. Are you sure? 1:15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I like to have context. So
oh, I yes, I get you, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Behold, on the mountains, the feet of him who what?
Brings
good tidings, who proclaims peace. And so we can see here that Nahum is actually quoting the prophet Isaiah here. The same Holy Spirit at work in the Bible. And this is a call that there's good news in spite of the bad news that's previous to it. And that's the context of it. Context is the idolatry that they were involved in. But even in the midst of that idolatry, God would come with good news. Praise the Lord. Great verse. I don't even remember reading that one before. So that's exciting. Any other ones that anybody came up with concerning feet and the gospel?
I went looking for peace. I never
okay.
Put feet and peace together.
Okay, no problem. But you found some, did you find some verses with peace?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You'd be looking at a lot of verses, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Numbers, the Lord turned his face towards you and give you peace.
Beautiful verse, yeah.
Psalms 34:14. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
A nice verse again. Yeah.
Psalms 85:10. Look, can love and faithfulness meet together? Righteousness and peace kiss each other.
That's a beautiful passage, eh?
Psalm 119:165. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Psalm 122:6. Pray for peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure.
Mm.
May there be peace within your walls for the sake of my brothers.
Well, there's a sampling of some on peace. Anybody else have some verses on peace? You've got them all.
I could keep you till 10 o'clock.
I'm sure you could. But does it do your soul good to write them and think about them and ponder on them?
Now, here in Hebrews 12:13.
Yes. Okay.
Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed.
Okay. Marie, we're going to go to that passage here, Hebrews 12. It's here already over here, a number 2 or 4, check and see. I think it's number 4. It should tell you. Oh, you got to do that first, sorry. Yeah, click on that one. Yes, okay. That's the one?
Yeah.
Right. Sure, well, I had this one ready because it's a powerful passage. Now, what did you have a comment on it or a question about it?
I just found it.
Okay, right. And it has feet and peace.
Because I was
together.
Like Leonard, I looked for peace.
Yes.
You know, to spread the gospel of peace.
Yeah. If you go back a verse, Marie, on top, let's look at this passage, because I had this one here. It says, speaking of chastening or correcting in our lives,
okay.
It speaks about the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, okay, because it's speaking about struggles, trials.
Yes, right.
The correcting hand of God sometimes in our lives. Right? So strengthen the hand which hang down and the feeble knees. So there it speaks about, you know, you're feeling weighed down, right?
Yes.
And make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated or taken out of the way, but rather be healed. Then it says what? Pursue
peace
with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, the reason why I had this verse down is probably one of those principles because it associates peace before and afterwards in the place of what making straight paths with your feet. And so when he speaks about in Ephesians about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it is not only the fact that we are proclaiming the gospel, but that we are walking in a right way. Right? Straight paths with your feet. Because if you're walking in the wrong way, then it's going to cause trouble. Let's go back to the soldier for a few moments and think about the soldier who's in the battlefield. One of the things that you'll notice, if you see a group of soldiers coming by, what are they usually doing when they're going by?
Marching.
They're marching. And when they're marching, how are they, what's happening?
Straight.
They're straight, okay. What else?
In unison.
Everyone's in?
Yeah.
In step. Everyone's in step, right? Well, when the Roman soldiers went to battle, when they went out, everybody had to be in exactly the right place they were supposed to be. You've probably seen movies of Roman soldiers when they fought.
Mm-hmm.
They went out in squares. You ever see that? And they have all these big shields in front of them.
Right.
So they're like I think they call them a cohort of soldiers. And when they went out, it was perfect timing. Every step was measured. Everyone was exactly where they were supposed to be. They were really, in a sense, making straight paths with their feet, weren't they? And what would happen if one fellow decides to go this way and one fellow decided to go that way in the middle of that square? You'd make room for the enemy. You'd have mass confusion, right? Because suddenly you've got people breaking rank. And the ones behind are going to be stumbling over the ones that are there. You're going to have a mess on your hands, aren't you? And that's the picture that when we have this soldier having their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it speaks of going forward. But we have to go forward in a straight manner. That's why I love this passage of Scripture, because what it talks about, if you're going to go astray, what's it going to do to others? It's going to put others astray too.
Yeah.
So how we walk is as important as what we talk, right?
Yeah.
Remember, the walk and the talk have to go together. There's times when people have told me that they tell the gospel to everybody, and I've actually remember saying to one guy, I wish you wouldn't. Now that's pretty strong words to say, isn't it? But because the lifestyle was so bad, that what he was saying didn't match up at all, and everybody knew it. And so it was actually making a mockery of the gospel. And what I encourage this person to do is get your walk straight. Say less and do more. Right? Yeah. And sometimes that needs to happen. Now, of course, I didn't say it in a harsh way or anything, but it was, it needed to be said in that particular situation. So God is looking not only for a talk, but he's looking for a
walk.
A walk. Both of them have to go together. But it's true that this is a gospel of peace. It's true. The declaration of the angels was that there was good tidings to all men, would be of great joy, peace on earth, good will towards men. It was the declaration. The gospel is a gospel of peace. So God has planned and designed that we enjoy peace. Peace with God. The Bible says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure you found that verse somewhere. The peace of God, which the scriptures say passes understanding, right? In Philippians chapter 4. The peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts and your minds. And so we have the peace with God. Peace from God. You'll see a lot of the letters in the New Testament. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So we have the peace of God, peace with God, peace from God. Mm-hmm. And all of that is designed for us to be at peace with all men. That's what that was there in Hebrews. If you want to flick back for a second. Just take the reverse button there. You see, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Peace is something that God gives. And it's such an incredible amount of peace. How many times is peace mentioned in the Bible? you need one of my electronic concordances for that. Because it is an incredible number. To be able to find out how many times that one word, peace, is actually mentioned. And I'm going to tell you how many right now. Okay, here goes.
There's not only peace, there's peaceable fruit.
Yes, okay, you're right. Because sometimes but the word peace itself is mentioned 396 times. Did you write down 396 verses?
No, but I will quite a few.
I guess you did. So you can see that this is not a subject that's just off in the corner. This is central.
Yeah.
396 times the word peace is mentioned in the Bible, and in the New Testament alone.
Wait till we get to faith.
Yeah. In the New Testament alone. We have 88 verses, 95 times the word peace is mentioned in the New Testament.
Maybe we don't appreciate peace because we're not at war.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But we are at war. You think of peace in terms of war, conflicts where there's guns and. But how many wars are there in homes right now?
Oh yeah.
How many homes are at war?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many communities is there war?
Yeah.
Where people are not at peace with one another.
Mm-hmm. It's peace with yourself, within.
And how much war and turmoil is there inside the hearts of individuals right now? Mm-hmm. You know, if you could actually see and look into Shetty Camp itself and see, well, how many people are at, you know, in those kinds of circumstances, I think you would find a great many homes and a great many hearts where there's no peace. But in terms of, real fighting with guns and that, we don't understand that. That's the ultimate expression of lack of peace. But boy, it is permeating all of our culture and society. There's a reason why God offers peace over and over and over and over again, because there is a lack of it.
Yeah.
Right? If there wasn't a lack of it, why would he be bothering? Right?
Yeah.
But peace is broken when sin comes in. Peace with God is broken, and when peace with God is broken, peace with men is broken. Right? That's just the way it is. Yeah. So this is the gospel of peace. It is a peace that's from comes to us, in us, through us, and reaches out to others. It's the good news, but it's a good news of peace that we are bringing to people. And, you know, it's wonderful to be able to present that to people, that they can have peace in their troubled hearts, that they can discover peace with God, and as a result of that, have peace with other people. It's a sad thing when you come into people who have bitterness in their souls, and that passage in Hebrews actually speaks in that passage about watch out for a root of bitterness, because it will grow up and defile many. Many will be affected by
it. You know, you hear in the news about a 19-year-old boy who killed this old lady for what?
Few dollars.
Oh, no. He certainly doesn't have peace.
No.
This world is getting to the point that I see the Lord coming very soon.
Yep. Well, I can certainly say that I was not a man of peace before I was a Christian. I had no peace in my soul. I mean, if I got stoned enough, you know. You see, stupefaction might look like peace, but it's not, right? If we think of peace as just the absence of conflict, that's not the definition of peace. The absence, there might not be any conflict, but, you know, a dead, you go out in a graveyard, it's very peaceful, right?
Yep.
It's very, very peaceful.
Quiet.
But there's no life, right? What God grants to us is life and peace, right?
But you don't have to see even aggression or violence like that. Even just people who try to seek control in their environment and people around them because they themselves don't have peace.
That's right.
Or they try to be the best at something,
right?
Because that's where they think, well, then I'll feel good about it.
Right.
Then I'll have
peace. Yes. Inner lack of peace is going to infect and it's going to affect everybody. There's no question about that. Yeah. But Jesus said, I give you my peace. Yeah. His peace. He offers us his peace. And that's, you know, we should not be ashamed of bringing to the world the real answer for peace. And because hearts are so full of conflict, we know that we're going to run into problems trying to present the real peace that God has to offer to people who are filled with conflict. We shouldn't be surprised at that. And, you know, in one verse, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he spoke about division within a family.
That's
why? But it's not that there wasn't conflict there already.
Mm-hmm.
It's that turmoil that's in the lives of others rises up and begins to challenge the peace that the gospel offers and presents.
That's what I was going to say, is I have no problem sharing the gospel with my coworkers, with people that, you know, that I are acquaintances. I've shared the gospel with my family. It has gotten resentment and anger towards me.
Yeah.
Like, now I can't even say something as simple as, well, I've been praying about you, you know, I've been praying for you.
Right.
Don't pray for me. I told you not to pray for me, you know? Just the anger. It's so much harder with my parents and my brother. It's just awful.
Mm. Okay, go back to Ephesians now. Thanks, honey.
When Pierre was under conviction, he was going to go and tell his brother to stop praying for him. He was going to go to the church and tell him to stop praying.
That's what I'm hoping.
Don't to his house.
My brother's saying that to me because it's affecting him. But yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm being a troublemaker.
Well, I remember saying I couldn't get it. Because I had read some scripture, God was working, and then I got miserable, so convicted that I couldn't sleep at night. And I finally said to Marie, I know what's going on. It's my brother and his friends. They're praying for me. And it's some kind of whammies coming over me, and I'm going to go over and tell them to stop. She said, if you do that, they're only going to pray harder.
I said, you're right. That's what I did to my brother.
So I wouldn't. I didn't go over.
He's like, no, I don't. Do not to pray for me. I'm like, I've been praying for him every second I can think of.
Of course.
Since.
Yeah.
I was praying about that this morning because I had called my sister and she was having difficulty with their son in school. And so I just, in my mind, I said, yeah, I'm going to pray. And I said, I'm going to tell her that. Right. And the more I tell her, you know, that I'll pray about this. And her reaction, so yeah, that'll really help. And I know she's, you know, I've told her it many times before, but so I just wanted to make sure that she knows that I am praying.
Right.
Even though her reaction is, yeah.
A little cynical?
Cynical.
Okay, well, we can't read all the verses that you have, but I know that if you've went and done the work and read those verses, that you're getting blessings, right? Is there any other verses stood out to you, Geraldine, since you wrote out so many of them there?
No, not really, but now that about feet and peace, even 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's a beautiful verse, isn't it?
And in Psalm 40, number 2, it says, "He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand."
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
He established my goings. Yeah, it's a great passage of scripture. Yeah. Now, the Roman soldier, they had, what else? Let me tell you a little more about shoes here. Why is it so important to wear shoes if you're a soldier? Not a trick question.
They don't hurt your feet.
Thank you. All right, your feet are protected where?
If they were not, you get hurt.
On the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. And they're protected on the
top.
Because if you get in a battle, they can hurt you. And you know, this, when it talks about the feet being shod, it could also include, there's a legging that's attached to that they would wear. That would be to protect this part as well, right? Because your ankle and everything else would be exposed. It's important to have this.
Well, they had a habit back then of cutting the tendon.
Yes.
The back of the foot.
Yeah. The Achilles, the tendon on the back.
Yeah.
That's right.
So then you couldn't walk.
You were done. It didn't matter how much equipment you had. Didn't matter how well trained you were with a sword. You were suddenly incapacitated, right? So then, as we think about this as the armor of God, let's think about the picture of the soldier. We find out that in this armor, it is vital to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, to be able to be conquering in our lives. It is vital to be ready to share the gospel of peace. Do you ever think of it that way? Because sometimes we can think, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm walking with God, I don't have to share with anybody because, you know, I don't need that part. Some other people, they can share. Now, that doesn't mean that you're particularly have the gift of being an evangelist, but it means you're ready to share the peace of God with others, right?
Everybody has a testimony.
That's right.
What's the use of your testimony if
you don't talk to Jesus? Yeah. Generally, the truth of the matter is, I was saying this to someone, I think, yesterday. You know more than, if the person is not a Christian, they've never read the Bible, you know more than they do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a Christian, you have something to share. It might be with stumbling lips, but boy, God can use stumbling lips. It says in the Bible that he can.
And we don't give the Holy Spirit enough credit.
That's right. To be able to actually use us in this process. So if we're going to be effective and strong as a Christian, we need to be a person who's ready to share about Jesus Christ with others. And that's something that we've already talked about. We're going to look at ways of evangelizing, and we're going to spend some time doing some studying in that, and hopefully see some practical ways of us actually doing that as well, so that it doesn't become book learning alone, because it's not very practical unless we're actually doing. Because when it says having your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace, it doesn't mean putting your feet up on the Chesterfield, right? It means that you're walking forward with the gospel. I have found this. When I'm sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, it excites my soul.
Oh, me too.
I get excited. It bubbles up inside of me. Have you noticed that? If you get that opportunity to share with somebody about Jesus, all of a sudden the gospel becomes fresh to you. It becomes real to you all over again as you're sharing it with somebody else. Boy, I tell you, when they get saved, then you're really rejoicing, right? So there is power in sharing the gospel. It is effective in protecting you and growing you in your Christian walk. So it's not a small thing when he says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
We don't have to know much to be able to share the gospel.
No.
It was the first time I ever witnessed anybody. Never done that. I didn't know anything about the Bible.
Yeah.
But I knew that John 3:16 said something that the fellow needed to hear.
Yeah.
And I had to turn to it. I didn't even know it by heart then.
Yeah.
And read it. And the fellow made a decision that night.
Praise
the Lord. So it had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That depends on the circumstances, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
I think I've shared this story with you guys before. My cousin was seeking to know the Lord and was trying to figure it all out. And I was a new Christian, and she took us out for supper one day, and it was all because she was hungry. She wanted to know, right? And here, she was a very religious person, but she wasn't saved. And I remember we went for a out along the beach. We were sitting on the bank, and I remember she said, "Pierre, I don't know what to do." And there I was, like I said, I was a new believer. I hadn't even gone to a church, I think, at that point. I didn't know, you know, very much. I'd been reading the Bible, and all I could think of at the moment was, "Well, God loves you." And I remember going home that night thinking, you stupid man. Is that all you could say to her? God loves you. She already knew that. She was saved that night. She was trying to earn the favor of God. She needed to hear what she had probably heard before. But at that point, it was exactly what she needed to hear to know that God loved her. And that because of that, she could be saved. Regardless, that it was God's love that would save her, not what she did for God or anything else. So we don't know. You can say the simplest thing, and God can use it profoundly to bring something.
For me, it's when you said, you know, He forgives us, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
He forgives us, and that's when it really hit me.
Is that right?
Yep.
Hallelujah.
April 2008.
Hallelujah. What a testimony. It's wonderful to hear that. Yeah. It's sometimes just a word, and suddenly I see.
Yes, the Holy
the
Spirit,
salvation
right?
is mine. It's wonderful.
I have a coworker who's a Buddhist, and I've witnessed to her, talked about the gospel. She says, "Yeah, I think Jesus is a very wise man, but I don't believe he, you know, what the Bible says he is." And I said,
yeah.
"Okay." And I just, you know, we've been friends, but every time there's a problem, she comes calling me and says, "Okay, Rochelle, I know that you will have a perspective on me. Well, actually, the Bible says."
Yeah.
"Where do you get all this wise?" I said, "From the Bible."
Right.
I said, "That's the Lord that wrote that," but she still.
Yeah.
And then one day she said, "Okay, I've decided that, yeah, there must be a creator, because we have these arguments,
right,
these
talks." Right.
"I think you're right. There must be a creator, but I still don't believe Jesus is who he says he was." But she's one step
wow,
further.
Wow, that's a great step. That's good. That's a great step. Yeah. That's a great step. That's good. Rather than the state of nothingness.
Exactly. Right? Everything is energy.
Yeah.
Another thing we need to do here is to pray for one another.
Yeah.
Paul goes on to share in his sixth chapter of Ephesians.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's going to be the crowning when we get to the bottom of the armor of God. But it's very true. Yeah. Definitely. Because without that, and I think one of these days soon, we're going to try and have an evening of prayer. Just prayer.
Oh, that would be
worship,
wonderful. Yeah.
Praise, and request to God. So that's and I'm going to bring that in out of that as we come to the conclusion of this section on the armor of God. That's very true. Any other thoughts on your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace? I thought we were going to do the shield of faith, but there's no way we're going to touch that. But it's a great encouragement to know You know, if you're wondering, you know, my Christian life's feeling a little stale right now. You know, what can I do to, you know, grow in my Christian faith a little? Go tell somebody about Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Go tell somebody about Jesus. And as you're speaking about how wonderful Jesus is, I don't know, something seems to happen. Oh. He just becomes more wonderful to you.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God. You know what the Bible says about the Spirit of God likes to do? Do you know what the Spirit of God likes to do? And there's probably a lot of things you could say about what he likes to do. But one of the things the Spirit of God does, he likes to talk about Jesus. He really does. And I'm going to give you a verse that shows that that's the case. And it's in the Gospel of John. I think it's chapter 15. John 15:26. When the Helper comes, that's the Holy Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whom I will send to you from the Father, that's the promise, right? The Spirit of
truth
who proceeds from the Father, he will what?
Testify
of me.
Yeah.
And now what does it say next? And you also will bear witness. So the Holy Spirit delights. His ministry is to testify of Jesus Christ. And another thing is, he will not speak of himself, but he will glorify me. So he testifies of Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. So doesn't it stand to reason if I'm going to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, what am I going to be doing? Glorifying of Jesus, and I'm going to be
testifying
of Jesus. I'm going to testify of him as well. Because that's what the Holy Spirit delights to do. So, get your shoes on. Put your shoes on. Even tonight, say, come to the Lord. Let's come to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, maybe Lord, I haven't been walking with my shoes on. Let me put them on. Let me speak for you. Let me testify of Jesus. Not being obnoxious to people, but lovingly making straight paths with our feet, sharing the love of God in Jesus Christ. Don't let Jesus be far away from your words and your conversation with people. Even if you're only saying, God bless you, you'd be surprised, startled. When I go to a checkout or a teller or whatever, I always say, at least I say to them, God bless you today. You'll be amazed how people will just stop and look at me like, some of them never heard that in their life. Never.
I do that too.
Never. And some of them, they almost melt in front of you and say, thank you very much. It's true. Others, because they don't, maybe I believe in God, others, you know, say, well, God bless you too, or, you know, because remember, we're basically living in a pagan culture.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, maybe down in the South, Jack, it seemed like that would be maybe a very common saying. It wouldn't be common in this country for people to say that.
It's common there as we'd like for it to be.
Right.
Though they talk about it a lot.
Yeah. So, even that much, open our mouths. God will fill them. He'll fill your mouth with something to be able to have a heart for a lost people who really do need the Lord. Yes?
The other night we were watching Undercover Boss.
Okay.
And this guy, I forget who company he's working with, and he had men that he was
working for him.
I mean, they don't know he's the boss.
That's right. Yeah.
And this one guy had gone, he was a repairman for, I don't know if it was a television or radio. When he left, he was a Christian. And when he left, and the boss was amazed. He said to the woman when he left the house, be blessed and stay blessed.
Yeah.
And he learned that he was a Christian.
Yeah. The boss was a Christian?
No.
Oh, this other guy. That's right. Yeah. And it stands out too when you hear it, doesn't it? It's like, whoa, it's nice to hear that. Nice to see something Christian.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that. And there's a we have a hungry, desperate world out there. We don't get a lot of joy. They don't get too many God blesses here. God bless you. It surprises me how many people are actually listening to that radio program that I'm doing. That they're actually listening to it. Because it's offering them a hope.
Yeah. Remember Red Skelton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always finish this program and may God bless.
May God bless.
Always.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah. I remember that from a kid. Yeah.
You do that well, Pierre.
Huh?
You do that well.
Yeah. Do you want me to do Freddy the Reloader too? Yeah. Let's close in prayer. And it's just a delight to be before this wonderful Savior.